Blog Talk Radio.
Danny, I just figured out that if I switch to Metro PCS, I get two Samsung Galaxy phones free.
Cool, Dad.
And I could be a super dad with two free Samsung Galaxy phones and call myself Double Galaxy Man.
Or you could give the second phone to your sidekick.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
That's right. Two free Samsung Galaxy On5 smartphones are all yours when you switch to Metro PCS. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio.
all-wise, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us this day, and it cannot be clear that he has granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all, both in their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I say to you all, I'm back. And it's a beautiful day to be back. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, I had to take a break from the show because I had commitments to our good brother, Brother Saladin, that I had to fulfill. You know, the brother passed away, and we'll discuss a little bit of this at the end of the show. But I want to talk to you today because of the seriousness of the time. Don't think because I didn't have some live shows in the last few days that I'm not paying attention to what's going on in the news. It's just that previous obligations or more pressing obligations took precedence because we still had shows that you can listen to and they sound as though they were live. When you were listening to the show, most of you thought that they were recorded at that moment, that time, that date. That shows you just how relevant the show is when some of the shows that we played were from 9 and 10 and 11 months ago and over a year ago. And you were still thinking that this was a live show. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, that's how you tell the weight of something. And you see all of the stuff that we were telling you about 9, 10, 11, and 12 months ago happening right here, right now, in the order that we said. Now, we're going to address a lot of things. I know some of you Negroes are mad that Donald Trump has been selected president. I didn't say elected. I said selected. As Stephen Littman says, nobody, Republican or Democrat, reaches the White House without prior exception and selection by the dog of the black government. That's what they call it. Behind the closed doors, that government selects whom they want. Okay? And I think, and what's amazing about this is in this, because the show is titled The Boomerang Effect of the Global Order of Chaos. And I was listening yesterday and day before yesterday to all of these people, Peter Schiff, Gregory Mannarino, the X-22 report. I was listening to all of these, and they have so much hope now that they have selected Donald Trump. They truly believe that this will alter the balance of prophecy. Even Gregory Mannarino, when the game has changed, this is what he said. And he, in one of his videos, he was talking about the situation. He steadily admits that there will be a clash. He steadily admits that America has taken on debt proportions with the likes of which we've never seen before. And remember all of the clips we played, he said that there's no possible way for the debt to be repaid. This has been accepted as actual fact among all the elites of the white world that America cannot repay her debt. All of a sudden now they're changing their tune and say, well, maybe. See, this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about, that the white man would be responsible for this universal corruption in the land and sea. From the same corruption that their own hands have wrought will come their doom. This is what is written in that chapter, chapter 39, Fall of America, but this is a chapter that is also placed in a book titled The Message to the Black Man of America. So this has the utmost importance, something that you must look at, something that you must read, study, and analyze, because he thought it was so important that he put it in two books. Okay? So, again, he writes, we cannot deny the fact that the Christian West is responsible for this universal corruption in the land and sea. From the same corruption that their own hands have wrought will come their doom. Now, the title of the show is titled, The Boomerang Effect of the Global Order of Chaos. Now, let's go to the dictionary to better understand this, okay? According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word boomerang means a curved, flat, wooden tool that can be thrown in such a way that it returns to the thrower. Now, okay? So, I want you to pay close attention. We'll go to the next word, effect. E-F-F-E-C-T. Effect. Not asset, but effect. Okay? And according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, that word means a change that results when something is done or happens. An event, condition, or state of affairs that is produced by a cause. What is the cause of the fall of America? What is the cause of the collapse of Anglo power universally? Huh? It is the corruption that they have meted out. It is the arrogance, the hypocrisy, the hubris. Right? And so now we see that entrenched in their constitutions. We see that entrenched in their domestic and their foreign policies. We see that entrenched in their media organizations. Well, white is right. And the might behind it backs up the right, even though it's wrong as hell. But this is what you understand. I'll go back to that. Now that you have the definition of boomerang and effect, remember the boomerang, it says, a curved, flat, wooden tool that can be thrown in such a way that it returns to the thrower. An effect means a change that results when something is done or happens. An event, condition, or state of affairs that is produced by a cause. Now, let's go back to chapter 39 and reread those first two paragraphs, and you should have a better understanding of what Elijah Muhammad has spoken. We cannot deny the fact that the Christian West is responsible. They are the throwers. They are the makers, right? For this universal corruption, now that's the cause of what's coming back to them. This universal corruption in the land and sea. Now he gives you the boomerang effect of that. From the same corruption that their own hands have wrought will come their doom. What did it say about boomerang? A curved, flat, wooden tool that can be thrown in such a way that it returns to the thrower. That's blowback. That's retribution, that's karma, that's judgment, that's justice. That's what's coming on America and the Anglo world. It's a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I tell you it is. So, as we understand this and the definition of this, and we understand more clear now what Elijah Muhammad was alluding to when he was teaching you, we can see it in its palpable full form that is taking place today. If you don't believe that America is catching hell for the evil that is done to you, then you stick around. She continues, think about this, as the nations around the earth are rising up against her rule, as the nations around earth are bucking up against her power, as the nations around earth are rejecting her influence and are no longer afraid to stand up and speak up against the empire. She yet has hatred for you when she has a military full of your children going around the world trying to impose their rule on the people. Isn't that something? This is just how wicked she is. She'll use your children and her military to advance her wanted to trick you to go down with them in their fall. They put someone that looks like you, someone that can talk like you, and walk like you. Isn't this what John Hawkins did? When he got him an outpost in the middle of black people and learned black talk, he learned how they walk. Then he started to trade with them. Then he ripped you off. Isn't that what Obama does? Huh? Talk back to him. I know you're mad because you love that Negro who, and you love him after the message to say because he gives you nothing. So, when has his policies benefited you? When has he spoken out against the police brutality? When has he instituted justice for you? And if you can't say that, then you should shake your pie hole and listen to the truth that God has revealed through the last message of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Oh, yeah, brothers and sisters, yeah, I'm passionate. I'm passionate with the truth. I'm passionate about my leader and teacher. I'm passionate about the God that he represents because I'm seeing everything that was taught to me manifest itself. You know, as we're talking on this, some of you, you don't get it. No matter how much we talk to you about it, you just don't get it. You try to digest so much that you never really get what we're talking about. And it's ironic because I was studying the messenger last night, the night before last, and the messenger was addressing just that. Said there's some that are so eager and so anxious to learn everything. No matter what you tell them, they're right back at you for something else when they have never digested what you have given them. You know? And we hear that and we see that. But today, there are some who are paying attention. You know, I was at the table, and I go over to my mom's house almost every day, and we have coffee. And she was looking at the news, I think this was a few days ago, and she said to me, she was telling me about something that she saw in the news. And her words to me were this: everything that Brother Saladin told you that the messenger taught is happening. Those were her words to me at the kitchen table having coffee. Everything that Brother Saladin told you that the messenger said is happening. She told me that. So in our discussion, it made me smile because a lot of this stuff that I was telling her, I told her years ago, long time ago. And she sees it now happening in her, just like it was said. You know? But some of you who are so-called deeply in the night, you can't process these things because you're arrogant. And also, you're dealing with something within you that is blocking your growth spiritually to see and understand and embrace the truth. And maybe, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, maybe you don't get it because God don't want you to get it. God maybe don't want you. I know you don't like to hear, but I got to be real with you. I got to tell the truth. Maybe God just don't want you. And maybe he wants you, but maybe you've got to suffer some. Maybe you've got to be beaten a little bit more before you fully embrace the truth that is clear as sunshine today. So we're witnessing the boomerang effect of the global order of chaos. So, matter of fact, while I'm talking on that, where is the, I hope I have my Holy Quran with me. Because if I do, I would love to share some with you in it. All right, brothers and sisters, I have these books everywhere. That's it right over there. Give me a second with you, brothers and sisters, okay? Don't get mad at you, brother. Okay? Now, let me go to some. I would like for you, brothers and sisters, also to read this. The Poets, the chapter called The Discrimination, and the chapter called The Poets. But study those two chapters, okay? Especially now. Study those two chapters in the Holy Quran. And the reason I tell you about the Poets, because it goes into Moses and Pharaoh and all of this stuff. It goes into that in the Poets. And it tells you what to expect also, as I tell you about what's in the Bible. I'm trying to get you to understand both books to see what's in them, so that you can understand time, so that you can look at these events that are unfolding, and that you can benefit from the wisdom that you have gotten and prepare yourself and your family for what is yet to unfold. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, let me get something. I want to put this Quran. I was going to go into something, but I want to go to something else. Something is telling me. I want to go to Fall of America. It's why it's hitting me in my head right now. I tell you, I have to go wherever Allah put these problems lie in a clear-cut understanding of the truth. This is on page 17, All of America. The clear-cut, the solution to all of these problems lie in a clear-cut understanding of the truth. And this is why, if you don't have a clear-cut understanding, you can have an understanding, but it can be a little bit tainted, a little bit misconstrued, or something like that. If you don't have a clear-cut, you can still be misled. You can still be deceived. So what we're trying to do to you today is to, that's why we give you pages of books and the titles of books, and we give you the definition of words, and we go into the meanings of this, and then we relate them to world events or national events or local events or global events so that you can have a clear-cut understanding of the truth. And you can't say that you didn't understand, you didn't hear, you didn't see, and you didn't know. We want to give it to you raw and butt-naked, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. We just call it the plain truth. So he says, I have come to bring you that truth. Now I spell it out so that even the children among you may know the nature of tomorrow. So, as he's speaking, he's trying to warn you of some impending occurrence that is soon to take place. He's trying to warn you to prepare yourself mentally and spiritually of something that stands at your door. This is Messenger Muhammad talking. So he tells you the solution to all these problems lie in a clear-cut understanding of the truth. The problems of police brutality, black disunity, the violence across America and around the world, the coming wars, the coming desolations, the hunger, the famine, the drought, the earthquakes, the storms, the mudslides, the avalanches, the whatever nature brings to bear on America and the white world. He's telling you about a solution before the problem metastasizes. He's telling you that. And he tells you, I have come to bring you that truth. Now I spell it out so that even the children among you may know the nature of tomorrow. Okay? You heard that last word, tomorrow. So he was speaking of a day that was to come. Okay? And then he goes and says, first of all, you must know the truth about God and the devil. And what's amazing about this part is in the first chapter or two, in Our Savior Has Arrived, he goes into the same thing about the truth and how you must know it, and the truth is in your favor. And you must know the truth about the devil. You must know the truth about yourself and God, or else you will be deceived by these crooked deceivers who masquerade in the name of God. This is what he was trying. So you have to have that clear-cut understanding of the truth. And that is a solution to your ills, your ailments, and the traps of deception and deceit by the devil and his minions. He goes and says, we the black men are of God. Our oppressors, whoever they may be, are of the devil. Their nature is evil. Not just they have a mindset. The very core of them is evil. Some people say, well, if you get rid of the devil's mind, you change his mind. No, you got to go back in his DNA and change it to his very essence. Right? You can change the lion's mind, and you can bring that lion up to be docile, or that tiger or that cougar up to be docile, but every now and then, every so often, you'll see that lion or that cougar or that tiger lash out, and they'll say, what happened? That was a very nice and friendly cat. Why did it do such a thing? Because its nature, no matter what you tried to put in his hand, his nature overruled that. You understand? So when you get these charlatans out here talking about, it's just a mind thing. That's wildest. That's a lie. With this white man, it is his very essence that must be destroyed. Or to, like the Methodist say, you have to re-grab him to get the evil out of him. He's telling you, you got to go back to the essence. What does the white man tell you when he wants to learn something? The first thing he say, I want to map the genome, right? I'm on you like the pretty talk that these people put out to you. But we're going to give you the truth and let you understand the time and what must be done. So, Messenger Muhammad goes further and he says, secondly, I must tell you the truth about the day of judgment. Isn't that what we're talking about today? Huh? Isn't that what we're talking about? He says, secondly, so first, you got to know about God, you got to know about that truth, and you got to know about the devil. And secondly, I must tell you the truth about the day of judgment. Now, so, brothers and sisters, we are in the day of judgment, the days of judgment, the days of Allah, the days of the presence of the Son of Man, the manifestation of Christ Jesus. This is this day. All right? I know some of you hear it and some of you like it, but is it registering in your head and in your heart? And we can tell whether or not it is by the way you talk, walk, act, and think. And if you're thinking wrong, you're acting wrong, you're speaking wrong, and you're living wrong, then it has not registered in your life. Okay? So you still have to go through this learning process, or else you're going to get caught up in the boomerang effect of the global order of chaos. This is why there's so much madness and division and chaos here, because there's a we not process. This is the day of judgment. The messenger says that we have this day of judgment so that all of the other ideas and beliefs and thoughts can be tried and see if they can hold up in this time. So we're looking at all of these beliefs falling. We're looking at all of these organizations falling. We're looking at all of these nations falling. We're looking at the global financial system falling. We're looking at the white cultural system falling. We're looking at the military order falling. We're looking at the trade falling. Everything that they've perpetrated on you and I is falling because it cannot stand in this day and time, because there's a new day, a new God, and a new thought, a school of thought that is out there that will wipe away the tears, wipe away the old world of Yaqub and its thought, which has been the dominant school of thought for the last 6,000 years. It's on its way out. It's dying, right? That's why you hear them talking about the system is terminal, right? Code blue. They're talking about all of this stuff. They're telling you that it's over. But when Trump gets in the office, they are so happy. Then you got some of them are pulling the string of the so-called Negroes out there rioting and protesting, and you talk about democratic ideas. It's amazing. I know you're going to get mad at me, but it's okay. I got to tell you the truth. So you want to be a part of a crooked system. Then the person that you vote for don't get put in office, and you don't accept the result. I tell you, brother, this is true. See, this is the madness. This is the psychotic episodes that you suffer under the mindset of Yaqub. You should know that whether Hillary was in office or not, you won't receive justice from this beast. Hillary was the one who killed Gaddafi. Right? But you love her so much. Hillary is the one who said that Margaret Sanger is her greatest idol. The one who founded Planned Parenthood. But you love Hillary. Negro, you crazy. That's why the messenger said, we have to have protection by God from this crazy Negro. You crazy. This white man made you this way. And so what we're trying to do is breathe the life of God in you so that you can get rid of the spirit and mindset of Yaqub, okay? The boomerang effect of the global order of chaos. So we're entering a time unlike anything before, and America's under tremendous strain and trouble. Yet she continues to lash out at you and I, right? She can find time to beat you. She can find time to lock you up. She can find time to divide you. She can find time to flood your neighborhoods with drugs, guns, and division. She can find time to go to Hollywood and make sexist and arrogant and racist movies and videos that you follow in your culture, and then you put and transpose upon the youth of your society. Then you get mad. And you follow hook, line, and sinker. This devil is what he is by nature. And he is to make mischief and cause bloodshed, no whom or what. Okay? So this is a day, a beautiful time, to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Before I go further, I see a hand up. I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick. And we'll get this real quick. 757, you're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I say unto you, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, my brother.
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing fine. All praise is due to Allah for the honor of Elijah Muhammad. There's just one scripture that I want to read, if you could hear me out. It's just one scripture. It's coming from Isaiah chapter 33:1. It reads as thus: Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. Keep talking, brother. You sound real good. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Beautiful. All praise is due to Allah. I love the book of Isaiah. The brother hitting on the money. This is how, this is what's going on with America. And the brother hit right on the cord of what we're talking about. The boomerang effect of global order, the global order of chaos. America has dealt so treacherously, so arrogantly, and with so much corruption with you and I, which are the main cause of her despair today, and the nation of the earth today, that now everybody is seeking a safe haven away from her because they know that she's a berserker nation. Go look up that word berserker, okay? She's a berserker nation, and all she wants to do is cause war and bloodshed and divide and conquer so that she can live luxuriously, all right? Now, we see this as the dominant policy domestically in America, to cause trouble, inflict harm, cause bloodshed and mischief, and then blame the victim for the situation that the victim finds itself in. This is how she's done in Ukraine. This is how she's done in Southeast Asia. This is how she's done in Eastern Asia. This is how she's done in the Middle East and Central Asia. This is how she's done in North Africa. This is how she's done in South and Central America. Wherever she goes, divide and conquer is her route. All right? So her mistreatment of you and I lie at the root cause. Some of you just don't get it. When you're seeing all of this confusion and this war and all of these economic malfunctions of the system for America in the white world, what lies at the base of all of this is her refusal to give you and I justice. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, without the giving of you and I justice, America has no hope. This is something that you don't get. If you study the Quran, if you study the Bible, I'm not just talking about reading and memorizing and then reciting it back. I'm talking about dissecting it and beating it apart and putting it back together and putting it on the scale of facts, weighing it with the world events of today. You'll see that the time is growing more and more troublesome for America. And we're almost at that point where God extracts you from the midst of America to lay America low. This is what took place in Pharaoh's time. The messenger tells us that that was an example of what was to take place in the future with America, the modern-day Moses, and the ex-slaves. So we're looking at a time, and remember, as God plagued Pharaoh, he became more treacherous and more brutal towards the ex-slaves. Remember that now. And he became more deceptive in his talking with Moses, right? Oh, go talk to your God and tell him to remove this from us. And we're not going to let you go, but we'll do better by it. We'll do this by it. Isn't that the promise that they make each election to you? No, separation ain't the key. No. But if we can just get along as brothers and sisters, and we'll treat you better, we'll give you jobs. We're not going to give you land. We're not going to give you independence. We're not going to give you a way to do and map out a future for yourselves. But we're giving you a little hope that we might one day give you a little bit of our power. You can't turn the system. Look at Obama. If you think online, look at Obama. Now, if this is true democracy, then why the hell did he have all them white people in his government? Huh? he was suited for you, why did he change all those positions? Huh? I'm talking about from the FBI, the CIA, and all of the so-called executive branches, body of government. How come he left all those people white and appointed his staff mostly white if he was about black? And if it was about black rule, then why didn't he appoint more black people? He couldn't do it. You ever think about that stuff? When you look at the Situation Room, when they claim to have killed Osama bin Laden, Obama was not in the seat of authority in that room. He was sitting over by the wall. And he was not in any projection of power. He was looking as though he didn't know what was going on. Right? And he was the only black face in the room. Brothers and sisters, yet you still believe this Negro had power. But, and you love him. And he continues to work against your salvation, your freedom. The messenger says that the devil offers them the positions of high office to work against your and my salvation and freedom. So if he accepted that office, guess what he is? He's an enemy to you. And he's an enemy to your liberation, and he's an enemy to your education, he's an enemy to your progression spiritually, and he's an enemy to your economic and cultural freedom and liberation, Mr. Obama. And if I'm lying, then show me where he has done anything in the way of making you go free. Show me any place where he has, in his administration years, where he has done something to change the tide and to give you a master's portion instead of a slave's portion. This is all I say. Don't get mad at me. Put what I'm saying on the scale of facts and weight. Okay? And if what I'm saying holds weight, you shouldn't be mad at me. Get mad at him. And this is something that is pervasive in society today too, especially with you so-called learned ones, and especially with you who call yourselves in the Nation of Islam. Whenever we speak about someone, and we rarely call people out by their names, only when they have overstepped the bounds too far. But whenever we speak about something, we offer you facts, you get mad at them. You don't get mad at the person who perpetrated the lie. You don't get mad at the concealer of the truth. You don't get mad at the person who has exploited your weakness or exploited your ignorance. You get mad at the ones who are shining light on it. That's madness. And that's the way Yaqub made you. So, again, we get back to this. This boomerang effect. All of this is being caused by this devil who refutes. Well, the boomerang effect on your mind is being caused by the atmosphere of Yaqub. The boomerang effect on this devil is being caused by their corruption. But God said be so that it could come about and blow back on America and the white world. You see no unity. You see none whatsoever. You see America losing friends left and right and left, right? Matter of fact, let's go to Fall of America again while it's on my mind. Because I just saw something in the news yesterday. Let's go to, I think it's 108. And I'm going to tell you what it's about. 108, 109, okay? Down in South America, you see a lot of the nations working with China and Russia. And they're trying to undercut imperialism in South and Central America, in the Caribs. Also, they're doing this. And Peru just came out yesterday. And so much is said they don't want to work with America economically anymore. They would prefer to work with China and Russia. And they would do their own so-called TPP or whatever it's called, the Trans-Pacific whatever trade. They wanted to do their own thing to the exclusion of America. This is inside. 10 years, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you would have never heard of these nations like Venezuela and Peru and Bolivia standing up against the empire. But remember what Muhammad, he told you about something that was expected to happen tomorrow, right? And so we're living in that tomorrow, and we're seeing the manifestation of what he taught. You can't deny this. So, if we go to Fall of America in chapter 25, excuse me, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this concerning what's going on in South and Central America in the Caribbean. And we see the proof of that with Bolivia. We see the proof of that with America with all her so-called She's so worried, she overthrew the elected government in Brazil. She's overthrown the elected government in Argentina. She's overthrowing, Honduras. Under Hillary Clinton, they overthrew the elected government there. And this guy was elected by a huge standard. They overthrew it in a coup. And they're trying to do Venezuela, Bolivia, and many more nations that are rising up against American imperialism, Muhammad said. I have been writing for many years that America must be punished for her evil done to her black slaves, who are so-called free slaves now, and who continue to suffer the same or worse punishment under the children of the white slave master than their white fathers imposed upon our black fathers under servitude slavery. Let me stop right there for a minute, okay? Because I want to hit this right at the heart of it. Go back to the beginning of this paragraph. He tells you why the things are happening in South America, Central America, the Caribs, just like he told you why things are happening in Central Asia, the Far East Asia, and the Middle East and North Africa. He told you these things. And now we're going to go right to the heart of it. We just read over it, and some of you missed it. But we're going to go right back and listen to what he said. And then you're going to get the root cause of why these nations are bucking up against America. Remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, in the fall of America, Allah would raise up the nations to contend with America. So she would have trouble on the outside periphery and on the inside as the ex-slaves start rattling, the dry bones start rattling for freedom, justice, and equality. Is that not the case of today? Huh? So he says, I have been writing for many years that America must be punished for her evil done to her black one slave. So that is the root cause of what's going on in South and Central America. You say, well, how did you get that out of there? Well, we're going to finish. We're going to read this paragraph, and then we're going to go to that short next paragraph, and you'll see him call it out, okay? I like to do this to you because this is the way I study. When I study, I look at what it says, and I go back over it, and I do a comparative analysis, and I get an epiphany. God gives me this, and I go right back. See, now, I didn't even know that. But let's look at this again, okay? Follow along, 108, 109, Fall of America. In the name of the chapter, ironically, it's called America's Loss of Friendship. And remember, I think it's in chapter 43 or 44, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that America must suffer isolation, and then she'll be burned. So we see international isolation. Everybody that she has tried to isolate, like Russia and Syria and all of these other nations, she is now being isolated by. Okay? So look at this. I have been writing for many years that America must be punished for her evil done to her black one slaves, who are so-called free slaves now, and who continue to suffer the same or worse punishment under the children of the white slave master than their white fathers imposed upon our black fathers under servitude slavery. Now listen to this. America has not only lost and is still losing friendship all over Asia and Africa, but she is now losing friendship right here with her next-door neighbors, Central and South America. So the root cause lies in you and the way she treats you, right? So now you get it. Well, brother, I don't want to talk about what's going on around the world, but to understand your plight, your predicament, and what is to come to save you, you must understand the surrounding conditions that prevail in the world today. The boomerang effect of the global order of chaos is blowing back on America. And it's a beautiful wind, isn't it? All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I bear witness that it is a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I wouldn't follow anybody else. I have committed myself to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I walk through hell with gasoline drawers on to defend my leader, teacher, and guide. For this wisdom, this unparalleled wisdom, that can defeat anything that you can think of and bring to the table. If you think you got something that weighs more than the weight of truth, Bring it on, 347-989-0855. 347-989-0855. Let's do this thing, and let's do it live and right. Let's go further. So, we see that the cause of America's plight is you, the mistreatment of you. And even right now, while she's catching hell, while the nations are rejecting her friendship, while the nations are rejecting her trade, her dollar, and her political influence, and her threats of military intervention, at home, she's standing with her armed forces called the slave patrols or police forces, which are ready to put down inside rebellion. You see, she's evil as hell, and it takes God, who has come in person, to deal with her. It takes God to fashion and make a messenger to take on this beast, because the Bible tells you who is able to make war with the beast except the Lamb. He didn't have a country of his own. He didn't have a military force of his own. Well, he has one. Therefore, I. He didn't have bombers and warships and war planes. God gives to him the truth. And the truth is so powerful that according to the Bible, it tears down nations and it rebuilds them or builds up new nations. Right? That truth is tearing down America right now, and in the process is building up a nation of men and women who fear nothing but God, who has come in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad. You tell me the Bible is not being fulfilled, you crazy as hell. So, in the midst of the judgment, we see the fall of America, and that the root cause is her mistreatment of you. And they are even talking about this in the news. I want you to listen closely. If the devil will allow me, right now I'm talking to you, but I keep seeing little plays on the dashboard that I hadn't spoken about. I want this to be a beautiful time, since we have not talked to each other in a while. And I'm hoping that this devil will allow it, so I'm going to try it right now. And I want, this is about 3.5 minutes. Listen to what they're saying about the slave patrol, about America's police force, and how they're mistreated. Hopefully, it'll play. I mashed the button. Maybe it'll start in a second, brothers and sisters. Like I said, I have no control over Blog Talk Radio.
Now, joining us from the Black is Mrs. Margaret Kimberly out of New York of the Black Agenda Report. Hello, Mrs. Kimberly, and thanks for joining us on the program, ma'am. Now, Mrs. Kimberly, here's an unarmed African-American killed for no reason. We all saw it on video a while back. The officer lying to his fellow officers on the scene that the victim tried to run him over, not knowing that the entire thing was being recorded at the same time, and the jury could not convict this man. Your thoughts?
Well, this is it's like a broken record. If you remember the days when we had records that would repeat, this is constant. Every day, 3 people in the United States are killed by the police, a total of 1,100 people every year, and more than 300 of those people will be African Americans. It's unusual. Often the police aren't even charged. And this was not even a city police officer. He was a university police officer. I was unaware that university police were even armed at the time of this killing. But, you know, all of these police, private, public, they act as a modern-day slave patrol against black people who are always at risk of being harmed or even killed. No matter where they are or what they are doing. I'm not surprised that the jury was deadlocked. It is unusual for juries to convict officers in these cases, and that is why we need a wholesale change in policing and in the way these cases are prosecuted. We need community control of the police, black community control, the right to hire, the right to fire, the right to charge, the right to prosecute.
And for our viewers at home, the footage was very disturbing. The officer standing outside the car, pulling this gentleman right next to his house over for not having a front license plate, asking him to exit the vehicle with his hand on his gun. The man asked why. Why should I exit my vehicle? What's the suspicion here? The officer, and then the man tried to start the vehicle. Now, the officer is standing off to the driver's side window, takes out his gun and shoots him point blank in the head, and he was not convicted by this jury. And now, Mrs. Kimberly, what are your thoughts on the efforts that Barack Obama made to address this issue while in office, and what do you expect now from the new president-elect Donald Trump on this matter?
Well, Obama made no efforts to address this issue. All of these police could be prosecuted by the federal government, but it apparently was Obama administration policy to never do it. We don't know what Donald Trump will do. I actually think, despite the fact that he is protested as a racist, and people have reason to say that based upon Trump's own words, I think that if we have a white president, we may actually have the opportunity to have some of these cases prosecuted. I think that a white president may make an example of some of these cops. So I wouldn't be surprised if we actually got maybe one or two prosecutions of these police. And Obama's only in office for two more months. There's been talk of Justice Department prosecution in the killing of Eric Garner here in New York City, the man who was filmed dying, saying, "I can't breathe." That remains to be seen whether anything will actually come of that. But it's even if something does, it's disgraceful that there was only one prosecution as Obama was packing up and going out the door.
And the officers there, which she's referring to, choked the man to death, unarmed, father of six or seven children, I believe. Horrible
yes.
story, horrible ending, and no charges brought on any of those officers. Thank you, Mrs. Margaret Kimberly, out of New York, joining us from the Black Agenda Report.
Kardashian and Trump and all of this other madness and housewives and this foolishness here, right? So, this is an international broadcast in Central Asia, in the Middle East, talking about the plight of Black America. Isn't that ironic? Didn't the messenger say that Allah would expose America and how she mistreats you and I? This is an international broadcast out of Central Asia and the Middle East, where it has millions of viewers that are looking at the way that America has treated and is treating you and I. And then they're saying, well, why Obama is Black? Why is he doing anything for you? See, he's been exposed. You see that? And this is why those in power mute or censor those international broadcasts that are not under their control. They don't want you to see that the world is making mock of America for her mistreatment of you and I. And then this lady, she had a good intention, but she believes master can do a better job anyhow. You heard her. I believe white people. If we had a white president, we'd do such and such. And then she says, something must change in the policing. We have to have it in the under Black communities control. And blah. No. She does not understand the system. And this is a big part of the failure of Black leadership. They are wishing for something that is not there. They're wishing for something that has no basis in reality. The police forces are there to enforce the laws of the land. The laws of the land are made by the owners of the land, and these owners are white people who took the land by force and enforce their decree upon all of the people in this land, right? Their highest law is their so-called constitution, which states that only white people born in America and those of the former colonial powers of England and all that had citizenship are American. And they specifically exclude anyone of the aboriginal races. This is something that we ignore because we want to be accepted as Americans. This is something that we ignore to the detriment of our own livelihood and our own independence and our own security of life. You cannot, I don't care how much you want to be, you cannot be an American citizen according to the definition. And it excludes anyone of the aboriginal races. You Black men and women of that aboriginal nation or race. So how can you be an American? Huh? Talk back to, I mean, I'm not talking about with emotion. I'm talking about with facts. Talk back with me. And if you can't talk back with me, write it in Braille. And we'll talk on it. So, and if that's not enough, sign it in sign language, and I'll sign it right back to you. Okay? So what we're looking at is the boomerang effect of the global order of chaos. It's madness everywhere. Madness. Beyond madness. And so she does not understand the fundamental acts or laws of science and nature. If by nature something has been made or created diametrically opposed to the original, then that must be removed or grafted back into the original so that the opposition can cease. So, if the system was made by this mankind, he's kind of like the original man, but not really, and it was made to preserve and maintain this kind of man's independence and wealth and prosperity at the expense of the aboriginal peoples, then you cannot have superficial changes and think that it will lead to a universal change. You have to go to the root. And since the police forces are the local, the county, the state, and the national defenders of order of the government of America, you got to go higher up. You got to remove the government. You got to remove the Constitution. You got to remove the Republic and start from scratch. That is a misunderstanding that a lot of them, they cannot grasp because they can't see it in their own, they short-sighted. They don't believe that the system can be removed. They don't believe that America will completely fall because master put that, even as they reach out for black independence and black liberation, they are still holding somewhat of a Eurocentric thought, thinking that these people will always maintain the majority. They will always maintain power and the seat of power. This is not the case. The whole thing is being changed up, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. The whole thing is being changed up by a new God who is on the scene. So we see this. And this is why you see more people bumping heads. This is why you see more violence, and the thing will continue. Blood up to the horse's bridle. We're going to see that. We're seeing it. We're seeing the aggravation of the people. We're seeing the division, the great division and race, the great division. Why? Because a separation is underway. This separation has to be done on the order of God, and it is underway. You might not like it, but I dare you to dispute it. 347-989-0855. Let's go to the phone lines. My good brother, Rashid Muhammad, Rashid Nasser. Brother, hold on 1 second. Hold on. Let me try to get you in here. They're messing with the phone lines. Hold on 1 second, okay? All right. Here we go, brother. You there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Brother.
Go ahead, brother.
Great to see that. Great to see that you're back. I was listening to the post, sister. Brother, the black man of America, just he has got to have somebody white to bow down to.
Yeah.
I mean, if it ain't this boss, it must be another boss. We just got to find some boss to treat us fine, treat us good. So you got a choice between Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, and the devil. No matter who you pick, you still going to receive hell. Clinton, Trump, what's that other guy, they Bernie Sanders, all of them are devils. And that's what the black man, he refused to accept that fact. That the white man is the devil. That is our major stumbling block.
Yeah.
The white man ain't going to treat you no better. Hell, he like you say, he came over here to steal this country. He didn't steal it for us. He stole it for himself. He didn't bring, like the man said, he didn't bring us over here to be no congressmen, mayors, and presidents. He brought us over here to work for him. Period. And it's an insult to put someone from us over him. He just don't feel that way.
Yes, sir.
So, brother, you know, I say all praise is due to Allah. Bring Trump in and him and his racists and all the rest of these people. Well, maybe that'll help wake the black man up, because something got to happen, because if not, the black man will be the same way forever.
Yep.
A fool.
Yep.
I had one of my sons was over a cousin of mine, and she was in the corporate world, but anyway, she's just one of these black women that think she knows everything, right? Well, anyway, he said he was over there when they realized that Donald Trump was going to win. She freaked out. She just was going off. Donald Trump pointed. Well, Donald Trump ain't no better than Hillary Clinton. All of them white folks. But the poor black man just can't see that, brother. He just can't see it. Do you agree, brother?
I agree 100%. I agree, brother. It seems like it has to be something. Some events must remember what the messenger says. Since you were beaten into this, you've got to be beaten out of it. And he said there must be a whole bunch of events that take place that forces the so-called Negro eyes open. And maybe Trump's entering into office would be one of those cats. I know it's one of the events because we're close to the end, brother.
Yeah, I agree. It's the Trump because he's not a politician, and everybody that's around him hate black people. At every one of his rallies, he was telling somebody to go beating up black people. Mexican, you know, are they all drug people? He hates Muslims. He hates Chinese. The only people he hates immigrants, and his wife was an immigrant. You know, he hates anybody that's, like you said, of the Aboriginal nation immigrant. Anybody that's not white folks, he hates. And so maybe this guy is the one that's going to make our people see the light.
And if he's not, he is, like I said, he may be a precursor to what, because the time is so limited and so short, there must be a whole bunch of events that take place, and maybe he is put there for one of these events to knock down and have the domino effect, brother, because this thing has to take place. The dry bones must receive life, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree. Well, we'll see what takes place, but Allah put him in there for some reason.
That's right. And I want to, since you said something, brother, I'm going to mute you for a second. It's on my mind. You just said something that just clicks. So hold on 1 second, brother. Let me mute you real quick. I want to go to Fall of America real quick. So brother says that in his talk, the brother just said something, and it stayed with him. He said Trump is a businessman. He's not a politician, right? And he said Allah put him there for some reason. I want to go to Fall of America since it's on my mind. I think it's 48 or 49, chapter 48 or 49. Y'all bear with me, okay? Because it just came to me. It is 49. Listen to this. So Trump is more concerned about the domestic situation because he sees the meltdown coming. He knows it's coming. And this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says about it. He calls this the log before the storm. And maybe Allah puts that in there as a little log before the storm starts raining down on America. The messenger says it's because the white man has fooled you so long, he says, I'm afraid for you that you will receive what the people before you did receive. Allah is very angry with America and the trick knowledge that she uses on the dead to keep them dead. You are very disappointing to Allah and to the original black man who knows himself, a very few of course. The false show of a glorious future that the wicked is putting on is at hand. So you looked at Gregory Malarino. He changed his situation almost a 360-degree change when Trump was elected or selected. Peter Schiff, all of them who had given dire circumstances to America's outlook of future, all said, well, maybe this is a game changer and America can come out of this on the other side and rebuild her military, rebuild her infrastructure. How the hell can you do that when you mired in hundreds of trillions and even quadrillions of dollars of debt? Doesn't make any sense. But listen what Muhammad said. The false show. He didn't say the real. He said false. The false show of a glorious future that the wicked is putting on is at hand. We must remember Daniel's prophecy that at the end of the war, desolations are determined. But before this happens, Allah will bless the people with
he did the people of the past, who wronged themselves and did not pay attention to the prophet's warning among them. Allah destroyed them. They thought that they were fooling Allah, but Allah surprised them. He made the people to rejoice for a short time. What did Gregory Manorino say? Maybe this is a game changer, right? They're rejoicing in Trump's elected presidency, right? He made the people rejoice for a short time with the show of great prosperity, and at the height of their great prosperity, suddenly he destroyed them. This is the merciful law that Allah has put in nature. Allah lets a dying person rally before the end. America is going to do the same. America will rally, and people will think that she is going to have a great future. Maybe this is a game changer, right? America will rally, and people will think that she is going to have a great future. And then the end will come in that kind of time. This is Elijah Muhammad. Brother Rashid said something that brought me to this. And I told you, brothers and sisters, none of this stuff is rehearsed. You see, it's live on the air. Whatever Allah gives to me, I go right to it. And I'm showing you this because I want you to be as confident in the God that I am. Because a lot of you did not have a solid end. I hate that you didn't. But at the same time, all praise is due to Allah for blessing me with one. The brother was the sharpest brother I knew. Always, even, brother, let me share this with you. Because in this chaotic time, in this time of global meltdown and confusion and division and war and race, and the conclusion will be the destruction of one world and the ushering in and the establishment of a new world, but the new world will be of Ancient of Days. So in all of this, you must have the right way of thinking. You must uncloud those minds of yours and understand the time. I know I say this ad nauseum for you, but the messenger did it also. And that is my leader, teacher, and guide, and my perfect example. You, above all things, get an understanding of the time. Without an understanding of the time, you can read for all of America, I'll say you have to write whatever you want to. You can memorize them. They will be of little use to you without you understanding the time. As I told my mother, you think about this. You say you have a job interview. You've been looking for this job for the longest. And they tell you, if you come in tomorrow at 10:30, we're going to give you the rundown of everything. You got the job. And your pay will be $1 million a year. Just come in at 10:30 tomorrow, right? And we're going to run everything down for you. But you decide, well, I got the job. I'll come in next month. Now, though you had the job, do you think you have the job when you get there? Because we don't consider time like this, we lose out. We put ourselves in harm's way because we're not preparing ourselves for the right thing. As the messenger said, we better start getting on time because you can be out of time and the man that's on time come and you'll be in trouble. And this is what we are. We don't consider the seriousness of the time. We think that prophecy will always be. And so when we look at scripture, when we look at the writings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, most of us look at them in a bland form. We don't look at them as living teachings that progresses towards a finality. We look at them in a stagnant way. And how can you have a living teaching that's stagnant? Because sooner or later, just like with a car, you leave it in neutral for a long time, it'll stall out and go off on you or die, right? The teachings must be in motion. Time. They must be making motion to make time. And if we look at prophecy, there's an ending point of prophecy. There's a deliverance point after the suffering. There's a fulfillment of time and prophecy and the word of God. And if we don't look at this stuff like that, we'll read the book as bland. And we'll don't just read it, and that's why you have all these arguments. That's why you have all of this madness between divisions and sects around the nation, because they're not processing time. Okay? Some of the, when the messenger said such and such in 1950, yeah, he said a lot of things in 1950. Right? Now, he also said, as Brother Rashi says, he said, well, brother, in the lesson book, it also says, bring the devil's head to the temple. You think the messenger was talking about go out there and chop off somebody's head? And this is real. We don't look at these things like this. Because we're out of time, we're out of season. And the Bible tells you there's a season unto all things, a time and a season unto all things. Ecclesiastes. You know, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to share some with you. Now, say for instance, if this is how you can look at time. I'm going to give you a good example, a short but a good example. Say for instance that you know that the system is going to collapse and you're making your preparation, but your preparations are out of time. And you're making preparations for the summer, but you're doing it in the winter. You've got all your crop, all your seeds for your crops that you're going to put in the field to feed you and your family. And all of these crops are summer crops. They cannot withstand the cold temperature. Yet you say you're going to get ahead of the game and you go out there in snowy weather and start planting the seeds. Do you think when summer comes you will have a harvest? No. Why? Because you planted them out of season, out of time. Time is the essential thing that you must understand, especially when we're looking at the boomerang effect of the global order of chaos. Now, let me talk to you for a second. So, brothers and sisters, I had not talked to Brother Saladin prior to, for about 2 months or so, prior to him passing. But he called me. I mean, well, actually, his daughters came by. And, I did not know that he was out in the car at the time he came by. They was rushing him to the hospital. And when I went to see the brother at his house, it's so strange. I was talking to him, and I said, yeah, your daughters came by. He said, yeah, I know. I was in the car. I told him, if I'm going out, the last day I want to see Brother Rashid's face, and I want to hear his voice. And it made me feel good, right? And so when they rushed him to the hospital, they thought he was gone. I went up. My wife went up there, and I went. I was on my way. She called me. She said, he's not here. He checked out. So I'm thinking the brother passed away. And then she said, no, he didn't pass away. He checked out. So they thought he was gone. So he lasted for about a week or two past that. Okay? About 2 weeks. About that. And so I'm over there. I brought him his carrot juice, and I brought him his pomegranate juice. And we sat down and we were talking, and the brother was lying down. He said, brother, when you see me, as I was walking in the room, he said, brother, when you see me, you'll see how much weight I lost. And so I went in there, and the brother was still his same self, except every now and then the medicine would, like, make him wander off to sleep or whatever. And so I shook his hand, and then the brother, he put his hand out, I shook his hand, and then he looked at me and said, brother, I didn't put my hand out there for you to shake. I put my hand out there for you to help sit me up. And I started laughing, right? Because the brother always had a sense of humor, even in this time. So, it hurt my heart that I had to sit the brother up, because the brother was always in good shape. You know, and what came down on him in the last few months. And so, as I'm talking to the brother, he's staring off in the distance. I can see all of his light. The brother had all of the stuff that the messenger taught. Brother had all of the CDs and DVDs Brother Rashid sent to brother. All praises due to Allah for that, brother. And the brother had some of his stuff from back in the 50s and stuff when he was in the 60s. And we were sitting there talking, and the brother, he said, well, brother, you know, if I'm here, and he paused, and, you know, he was trying to get his thoughts together. He said, if please, Allah, I'm going to be here with you and help you walk the rest of the way. If not, brother, and Allah takes me away, you were able to walk on your own, brother. He said, Allah got something for you. And so we had a good time talking. And so bad it gets, no matter how bad it looks, you stay focused on the messenger. I'm talking about brother sitting up. I had to sit the brother up. And he went right into it. Brother, let me tell you something. Always remember that Master Farad Muhammad is God, and that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his lamb and last apostle. He said, brother, you take that to the grave with you. He said, and I said, well, brother, you know, you're going to make it. He said, well, if I do, I do. And if I don't, Allah still God. He said, what am I supposed to do? Punk out now? He said, no, brother, it don't work like that. We with Elijah Muhammad to the death, brother. Put that in your head. Put that in your heart. This is what the brother was talking. And I'm talking about fire is still hitting on all cylinders. And the brother, he was just going hard in. Brother, you're going to have to do X, Y, Z. Keep these people. Let them know this, 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 and this. And make sure you put the messenger out front. Make sure you represent Master Farad Muhammad the right way. He said, brother, death is the eventuality that we all have to come to. Don't you punk out. You stand up. Yes, sir, brother. And so I'm telling you now, brothers and sisters, this is how this brother is. What? And so the brother called me later on. We talked and stuff. The next day he called me. And then he said, brother, a few days later, I went to visit him. I was visiting him almost every day. And he called me, and he said, brother, you coming over? I said, yeah, I'm coming over, brother. I'll be there. Just give me a little time. And I said, I got to do something. He said, do you believe that you'll be able to go to the doctor with me in the morning? And I had a previous engagement that I had to live up to. And I said, well, brother, I got, you know, do this, you know, something else. I don't want to speak, but I had to do something else. Tell me, Lord. And he said, well, brother, I understand. He said, what about your Thursday? I said, yeah, brother, I can go. He said, well, I don't have the doctor's appointment Thursday, but I have to go to the bank, and I want you to go with me. I said, okay, brother. So he called me again. Said, you gonna go? I said, yes, sir, brother. You know me. I'm there. And I'm gonna show you something, brothers and sisters. So when I was sitting at his house, I saw. It's hard for me to explain, but I've said this to his family, and I've said this to my family. That when I was sitting there looking at, he had, it was almost like a teardrop in his eye. In his eye. I'm not talking about coming down. I said in his eye, and it was bluish green. And I was looking at it. And I was there, I was like, what is that? So, but I never brought it up to him, so each day I would look harder and harder, and it was like a dullish, bluish green. And I was at the day before he passed away, I was over his nephew's house, little Cal. And little Cal said, well, you know, he's at the doctor. I said, well, he told me he had the doctor yesterday. He said, yeah, but he had to go back with it. So they said he needed a wheelchair, and I had my grandmother's wheelchair. And from before she passed away. And I kept that and kept that and kept that. And I said, well, the brother can use that. And so they came over to Kelvin's house. He was in the van, and he was so jovial, so happy, you know. And it was almost like the brother had got a new life or something like that. You know, brother says, I'm trying to share something with you. And it was like, he was in the van, the back seat. You know, they had to set him up and all that. And the brother, he was talking to him and said, brother, Rashid, you're going to be all right. Mind you, he had never listened to the show before because he's not into the technology. And he called me the night before. He said, I got those CDs you dropped off of the show. He said, I'm listening. I'm getting ready to listen to them. And the next day, he came, when I saw him over Calvin's house, he said, brother, you're going to be all right. He said, I'm happy now. If I go, I know it'll be all right. And he just kept shaking my head, and he said, God, I got some work for you to do, brother. Don't you punk out. It's going to be hard, but don't you punk out. And I'm looking at him, and I'm looking in his eye, and that teardrop is, brother, and says, I'm not telling you, I'm not making this up, I'm telling you the truth. And it was like it was bright, real bright. Remember I told you it was dull, but now it's real bright. And you can take this how you want to, but I'm telling you what I saw. And so as I'm talking to the brother, I'm looking in and I'm trying to look away, but it seems like the teardrop was real bright. And he was saying, brother, you're coming by tomorrow, right? You're coming by and we'll go to the bank. He said, around by 8 o'clock. And then his brother, Big K, Calvin said, no, Brother Rabbi, 10 o'clock. And then Father Dean said, no, we're just sitting in the middle at 9 o'clock. I said, yes, sir, brother. And we had our conversation. And before I let him go, he grabbed my hand. And he would not let my hand go. He would not let my hand go. And he just kept shaking. He said, brother, I'm proud of you. He said, I wouldn't have given you this stuff if I wouldn't have saw how much you love black people and how much you love the message. And he said, you're doing a wonderful job. The Lord's pleased with you, brother. You're teaching the message to teachers just like he taught them. And so, and then he went from saying, Brother Rashid, he said, Brother Minister, you're going to be all right. Remember that. And he said, remember, 9 o'clock sharp. I said, yes, sir. So the next morning I get up and I'm up early doing my exercise. I'm about to go handle some business. And then I said, you know what? Let me go around here. So I went over to, he was staying with his brother, Calvin, and his sister-in-law, because she was a nurse and they had to help him. And I got there about 8:50. And I sat out in the car to about 8:55, 8:56. And then I went up to the door, and when I rung the doorbell, and the sister came, she said, Father Rashid, what you doing over here so early? She said, you know the brother don't get up, Brother Calvin. Because in fact, he don't get up. I said, well, they told me to come over. I said, sister, you know I don't come to nobody's house early. She said, well, come on in. And so she said, which one of them told me? I said, both of them told me. She said, maybe they meant 10 o'clock. I said, no, they told me 9 o'clock. And so I sat down in the hallway on the bench, and we were talking. She said, well, since you're here, I'm going to keep you here. I said, no, I'll just go home and get me some coffee or whatever, then I'll come back if it's 10 o'clock. She said, no, you can help me get the brother up and get him dressed. She said, and I'll cook something. I said, no, sir, I'm good. She said, no, I'm going to cook something. And so she said, hold on 1 second. And she went in the back, and she came and she said, let's go get the brother up. So we walked in the room. And right as we walked in the room, the brother gave up the ghost. He did. He gave up the ghost, and he went back to the essence. And his brother, his sister-in-law, my mom also, said the brother just wanted to hear your voice one last time. And that's why he told you, make sure you be there at 9 o'clock. And he said, you know you're a prompt brother, and he knows that you step to your word. I don't care how long it takes. And that's me. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I try to do it. If I can't do it at that moment, know that something has come up that prevents me at that moment from doing it. And so when I rung the doorbell, when they did the analysis, the brother, he was still shining. He was smiling. I want you to know the brother was smiling. And they said his death took place around 9:03 to 9:10, which was the time that I was in the hallway talking to the sister right by his bedroom, right after the doorbell rang. And so as we were contemplating, the family was crying, and I was standing up there, and I was trying to put together what was going on. His nephew, we called him Daddy, that's his nickname, and he's a big teenager, big old guy, about 6'7", about 260 or 70 pounds, something like that. And so Daddy said, you know, I was in there, he called Brother Saladin Uncle Gus. He said, you know, last night when I was going to get Uncle Gus his medicine, I heard him in the morning. And he said that I went in and said, Uncle Gus, you okay? You okay? And he said, he was sitting up. He said, yeah, brother, I'm okay. I said, what you talking about? He said, I was scared. I thought you were in pain. He said, no, brother, no. I had a dream, brother. I was with Allah, and we were having the best time of our lives. He said, brother, I was having a good time with Allah. And he said, brother, I'm going to go back to sleep. He said, and I'm going to see if I can get back into this. He said, brother, I was having the best time ever. He said, the feeling was so great. I just couldn't describe it to you. This is what Daddy was telling us right when it was happening. He was crying because he said that he didn't even put two and two together. And that was just a couple of hours before I came over. And when the brother heard my voice, the brother smiled, and he gave up the ghost. I think that's the way we should all be facing death. We should not talk to him. All believe in our God to take us. If he can take us through life, he can take us through death. And he can alleviate the pain. And he will vindicate you, and you'll be the victor, living or dead. That's one of the main lessons that I took from that. To trust that Allah will do what he said he will do. You just have to have patience. And the brother told me, and I have this, so I'm going to play it on the next show. Told me to play this song for the people. He said, brother, I want you to go, the day before he passed away, he said, I want you to go get me Anita Baker. You know how I love Anita Baker. And he loves her too. And he said, I want you to get me this, and I want you to print up me a whole bunch of CDs. I want to give them out to my people. And he said, also, you know this song? And he started singing it to me. He was talking about You Are So Beautiful, written by, I always know his name, and it just draw a blank on, but You Are So Beautiful. And it was a song by Joe Cocker and Ray Charles. Billy Preston wrote the song, Billy Preston. So on the next show, as we're going out, I'm going to have a dedication to him. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes. We're going to salute our good. And of course, from the 50s up to the day, without turning his back on the messenger, and even in death, all the brother could think about was my duty to Allah, his messenger, my people. And he said, brother, get that song, You Are So Beautiful, and play that song for my people. Let them know this is the way the messenger feels about it, and this is the way I feel about my people. This is what the brother said. So we have the song. We have it downloaded. But Blog Talk is blocking us from playing it at this moment. So we're going to go out in power and in peace. And I want you to know that I love you, brothers and sisters, to life, not to death. I want you to know that I can seem harsh at times when I'm talking to you, but I love you. And I want you to have the same thing that I have. I don't want me to have this with and you don't have. Or me to be able to take advantage of you. I want us to be on the same level, the same playing field. I want us to look at each other in sincerity and truth and love each other like that. I want us to know the true and living God, the one that the Christians said would come, the one that the Muslims said would come, has now come and has delivered us on the order that he has given years ago through the mouth of his apostle. Brothers and sisters, know that God can, will, and is saving you from this beast that is moving to destroy you. And know that no weapon, word, or action taken, spoken, or formed against you will prosper if you are in that circle of safety with Elijah Muhammad, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our own kind here in America first, and then the billions around the globe. Know that your little brother Rashid loves you sincerely. I mean, I love y'all. I wouldn't do this if I did. I wouldn't go through all that I go through. I wouldn't sacrifice my money and my time if I did. I don't want no position like these other people out here. What I want is you to be positioned into a better place so that you can be delivered from the onslaught of divine judgment, which is bringing this devil to his knees. Brothers and sisters, I love you. Until we next meet again, remember that God, who has come in the person of Master Faraj Muhammad, has power over all things. And no matter what this devil says or does, the eventual working out of your salvation has already happened and begun. Brothers and sisters, I can't go out with a sound. I'm hoping I can. But if I can't, know that your little brother loves you with life, brothers and sisters. Hold on, be strong, and remember that this is our day. This is not America's time. This is our time. As-salamu alaykum, black man and black woman.
Is a gift from you, blessed from heaven, that's for sure. So every day I live, give thanks to you. Oh, I haven't been perfect, and that's okay. And you still show love my way, yeah. Please don't leave me stay.
cause I know the sun doesn't shine, the rain doesn't fall, and there wouldn't be a twinkle, twinkle little star. And just like we have winter, spring, and summer, fall, I can always count on you, because you never let me down. You've always been around for me, and my trust for you will never leave. It will never leave, because you know my destiny. So I believe. Every day my faith is stronger, knowing you're there, I hang on a little longer. Sometimes life gets a little hard, hey. Your times are tough, so hard to bear. I get weak sometimes, I feel you really don't care. But when I open my eyes and look out the window and see that the sun doesn't shine and the rain doesn't fall, and there wouldn't be a twinkle, twinkle, little star, yeah. And just like we have a winter, spring, and summer, fall, I can always count on you, cause you never let me down. You're always been around, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Danny, I just figured out that if I switch to Metro PCS, I get two Samsung Galaxy phones free.
Cool, Dad.
And I could be a super dad with two free Samsung Galaxy phones and call myself Double Galaxy Man.
Or you could give the second phone to your sidekick.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
That's right. Two free Samsung Galaxy On5 smartphones are all yours when you switch to Metro PCS. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.